Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Right View Radio Show. This is your host, Shumana, and we'll be having Chris in shortly. Hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. I am certainly grateful for having this show to speak freely without censorship. And I am grateful for all my listeners who believe in freedom, who believe in freedom of expression, freedom to choose, freedom to have an informed consent. And I am very grateful for Proof, who is the owner of Freedomizer Radio, for giving me this platform to speak freely and giving me the okay and the go to share my thoughts, to give out many truths that have been a no-no on every single platform I've on, Facebook, even TikTok. TikTok, believe it or not, TikTok today have decided that the White House secretary or press secretary posting that clip of her saying something is against their community guidelines, which is ridiculous. But you know how it goes these days. These people, we are under a communist occupation, I do believe, and there is nothing that we can do. It's getting crazier and crazier by the minute. I'm waiting also, like I said, on Chris. I am sharing some links to get some listeners in, and he will be connecting in very shortly. So until then, I would like to read this article and start with that. It's very informative. It's regarding what's really going on, which many people, unfortunately, are still oblivious to the facts. And let's play a quick commercial, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned to the Right to View Radio Show.
We are heartfelt.
We speak from the heart.
We are open.
We don't hold back.
We are positivity,
prosperity,
and preparation.
We're endeavoring to empower.
We are hope.
So get off your aspirations and join us on Hope Radio with CC
and Trevor, Tuesdays, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific.
Join
the
crew.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Right View Radio Show. Again, this is your host, Jumana. And this article that caught my attention is from the National Review. And it is written by Andrew Stafford. It says, the title, The Great Reset, If Only It Were Just a Conspiracy. The Great Reset, masterminded by the World Economic Forum, is just a corporatism by another name. Writing for the Spectator US, Ben Sixsmith gets to grips with the Great Reset now being proposed by the World Economic Forum in Davos. And yes, despite a name that sounds as if it were conjured up in some of conspiratism, danker, fever swamps, the Great Reset really exists. And I think we have Chris here. Let's get him in. And we'll continue on. Chris?
Hello.
Thank you again for joining. How was your Thanksgiving?
Of course. Ate way too much.
That's way too much. Yeah, me too. Believe me, I ate way too much. I actually took two naps that day.
Yeah.
And how was the family doing? You gathered with, I'm sure, your parents, relatives.
Yeah, we were the in-laws. It was small, like usual, so.
All right. Who cooked the turkey this year?
Mom and Dad did the turkey. We did the ham.
Nice. All right. Good job. And how many people attended
Six of us.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. I'm here in Phoenix, actually, this week. I've flown with my children. My husband stayed back because, you know, somebody has to stay for the business. So they are my husband's first cousins. And every year they have this Thanksgiving in one of the brothers' house. And huge family, many grandchildren, God bless. And it's wonderful spending time with them. We don't really see them that often. And every year for the past 5 years, we've been coming here for Thanksgiving. And everybody right now is at one of the other brothers' house, and they're gathered over there. And I got there, and I said, oh, my God, I forgot I have my radio show. So I asked for a ride back to the house. And I got set up and everything, but we're going to be back in California on Sunday. My children do not want to go back to California. They love the family here. They love having the cousins around. There's kids their age. We don't have any relatives around in California, so they love it here. And I get like it feels bad. I feel bad. I feel like it, they break my heart because every time they say goodbye, they start crying, and I have to, like, okay, I promise you we'll be back here soon, and I promise. So it's tough being away from family. I'm glad you are close to your parents, and, you know, that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's nice being this close.
Absolutely. And, you know, it hurts me more because my own parents are in a different country, and it seems like, you know, I'm never going to see them again. And that's another heartache for me, honestly. And I have a story to tell you, actually. Yeah, I have a story to tell you regarding that. Well, my brothers, I have two brothers who are refusing to comply. And they are being pressured beyond belief right now. You cannot go to the bank. You cannot go to the grocery store. And I'm talking, Jordan is a third world country. It's nowhere near a first world country. But yet, then here we go. They are not allowing anybody to go anywhere. You are losing your driver's license, your job. You cannot be in society in general. So it's getting really tough, and they don't know what to do. And I was following this attorney who filed a lawsuit against the prime minister and his cabinet regarding the Defense Act, which is some kind of similar to the Emergency Act that we have here in the U.S., which every country is executing these mandates under, right? They're abusing this Emergency Act. And so I spoke to the lawyer. I told him, can I speak to you? I followed him on Facebook, and I have never read any updates from him regarding the lawsuits. So he agreed to speak to me. And, you know, as a lawyer, of course, all lawyers do the same. Did you put me on retainer before you speak to me? Of course. I said, no, I did not. But I would like just an update on the case. And so he gave me his cell phone number, and I called him, and I said, so I was following you, and I don't know what happened. You never posted any updates. He told me, well, the judge threw out my lawsuits from the get-go. And I said, well, how come? And he said, because I am not an elected person. I do not represent the public. And I said, yes, but you are filing a lawsuit against the prime minister because this is a grievance kind of case, right? You're mandating something on majority of people who most likely don't want it. And so he told him, it doesn't matter what you think or represent, because the public good supersedes the individual good. So it's okay for you to sacrifice your life for the benefit of the community, basically. And so, and I told him, what about exemptions? Is there no religious exemptions? Is there no medical? He told me, no, the only exemption you have is if you die from the vaccine. Imagine.
Yep. They are, our illustrious genius governor announced earlier this week that they are working on a vaccine verification system for here in Oregon. So, coming here
and
too.
Digital?
I have no clue. That was the only thing they announced, because they also announced that they are going to start weekly tests on all students in school and all of this other crap.
Weekly testing, PCR tests.
Yep.
And the
on
expenses?
All students in school.
Wow.
Sorry?
So who's paying for these tests?
Don't know.
Interesting.
The school is probably getting paid to do this so they can get their case numbers up.
So they can lock down again.
Yep, probably.
And force vaccine the children. Absolutely. Because, you know, they don't have money or enough budget to buy crayons and pencils. And they most likely, they always, you know, they beg for the parents to buy in stuff for the classroom because, you know, they cannot afford it. But yet, here we go. We have the education system can afford PCR tests.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, and so, and I was, like, wondering about how much this lawyer knew. So I was telling him, you know, like, there was a resistance here in the U.S. For example, I was giving him the Southwest Airlines example. And he told me, I wish that was the case here. Most people were lining up for the vaccine before it was even out for distribution. And I told him, so why isn't the mandate? If people want it, and you were talking about, they said, we need 70% of the population to be vaccinated. So now you have 70% plus. He told me over 90% have been vaccinated. So I told him, what's the problem? Why the need to mandate something when you already reached the goal of 70%? And he said, it doesn't matter at this point because they don't even believe, and he continued on, that their vaccine work. They don't believe it because they're forcing everybody on it. So, and he understood, if you already took it, what are you worried about, right? You believe it's effective. You believe it's, you know, it's going to give you protection. So let me get sick of that. And I was happy and I started laughing and I told him, okay, I'm glad that you know where I'm coming from. There's nothing that makes sense. And then he told me, so you live in Jordan or in the U.S.? No, I said, no, I live in the U.S., but my brothers are in Jordan. Obviously, if they were to come here and they get their visas, they're going to have to take the job. And he told me, absolutely, they will not allow them even inside the embassy without it. So they're eventually going to take it. But he told me, are you familiar with the Georgia Guidestone? And I laughed and I said, yes, I am. And he says, you know what it says there, what number to keep the population under. It's the
500 million.
Yes. So I told him, oh, absolutely. And I laughed and I told him, I'm glad I don't have to explain to you what's really going on. You obviously are educated yourself. And he told me, yeah, but, you know, believe it or not, people think that I'm a cuckoo. I'm a conspiracy theorist cuckoo. And I was like, no, you're not. I'm so happy to speak to you. I'm glad you are. And he told me he did not receive the vaccine and he's being banned from accessing the courts. He cannot walk in. Everything has to be done for him over Zoom. But he's wide awake. And I told him, hopefully, if I can manage to make it to Jordan, I would love to meet you in person. But, yeah, that was that. And of course, he told me Royal Jordanian, which is the only airline company that belongs to Jordan, it was the first company with over 100 plus employees that announced you cannot come back to work if you're not vaccinated. And he said over 95% of the employees the very next day went and took it. No resistance whatsoever.
And just think, if they would have held out, they would have had to drop that requirement.
Exactly. So it's funny how here, and I told him, we were so happy here. We're so glad that there's, you know, big corporations like Boeing and you have Southwest Airlines. You have other airline companies that are or just holding back the Daily Wire. And they're suing the federal government for this mandate. And we have now the Fifth Circuit in court put a stop to the mandate. You cannot force anybody. You cannot fire anybody until, I guess, it reached two. The Ninth Circuit, and then whatever they decide, which I don't think they'll be able to because of the discrimination. And this is a big no-no in the U.S. But you never know. I told him, everybody got a price, I guess. And If you're talking about how many countries do we have around the world, most of them, if not all of them, are in on the whole scamdemic. So it will be hard. I mean, it might take longer for the U.S. to be, you know, to break down against this tyranny, but little by little, they're achieving, you know, many things, and a lot of people got fired already. So we'll see what's going to happen, but there's more resistance because we are armed again. This is an armed population. They can defend themselves if it comes down to, unlike Australia and Canada. So, of course, Australia, I don't know if you heard last week, yesterday or the day before, about what happened.
I'm not sure. So many things have been going on. I've been having trouble keeping up with everything.
All right. Are you ready for this one?
I guess.
All right. Buckle up, ladies and gentlemen. It's getting super wild and weird in Australia. Here we go.
It's been a long and difficult night for a lot of people, none more so than the residents of Binjari. As was reported last night, there were 9 positive cases detected from Binjari yesterday following the testing blitz. There are 4 females, a 23-year-old, a 38-year-old, a 39-year-old, and a 78-year-old. The 5 males are aged 17, 18, 21, 31, and 47. They are from different households. We think 6 in total. Their vaccination status has not been confirmed yet. The 78-year-old female was at Katherine Hospital with symptoms, and she was transported to Royal Darwin Hospital overnight. The other 8 cases have all been transported to the Centre for National Resilience overnight for monitoring and care. Some have existing health conditions. There have been no new positive cases in the Territory since last night's update. There are 3,005 tests processed in the Territory in the last 24 hours. The positive cases in Binjari are very concerning, but not surprising. As I flagged with you yesterday, this is something we were expecting based on the wastewater results. What's more concerning is the evidence of substantial mingling between households in Binjari, as well as mingling back and forth between Binjari and the nearby community of Rockall, which is about 130 residents. These communities have very strong personal and family connections. It probably helps to think of them more as one big household rather than a lot of different households. For these reasons, we do expect numbers in Binjari and probably Rockall to increase, and they may increase by a lot. We have to be prepared for that. As you know, last night we took an urgent action to escalate our response in these communities, immediately implementing a hard lockdown. That means residents of Binjari and Rockall no longer have the fire reasons to leave their home. They can only leave for medical treatment in an emergency or if required by law. Yes, these are strong measures, but the threat to lives is extreme. An expanded rapid assessment team was deployed to Binjari and Rockall last night to help with the hard lockdown, begin the contact tracing work, and provide as much support as possible to residents. This includes providing food and other essential items to residents. The effort undertaken by our...
So basically, Chris, this is the Aboriginals, the native Australian community of 130 people. They deployed the National Guard, rounded up the people, and threw them in concentration camps.
Yeah, they're also doing that in Canada now, too.
And I'm like, what? I couldn't believe, you know, he's trying to beat around the bush or speak with nice words. The Aboriginals released a bunch of videos on social media. One of them was a video of the National Guard literally chasing them down the streets and jabbing them against their will. Australia lost their damn minds.
Unfortunately, I kind of knew this was going to be coming in Australia because Australia, they voted to give up all of their guns. They have no way to defend themselves.
Yes, sir. So they're trying to eliminate all the 130 that are left in the country? They want to completely erase them? Like, what in the hell? And you know, we're talking here, and according to him, He's saying it's considered one big household. Leave these people alone. Three cases? Really? So three cases. There's no symptoms, I bet you. This is just an excuse to round up the Aboriginals in Australia. Where are the human rights activists? What in the hell?
It doesn't fit their narrative.
Unbelievable, Chris. This is like nauseating. This is, and you know, he speaks for about 30 minutes in this conference, and I'm mind blown. I cannot believe the balls on these people to go and even tell the world what they're doing. Like they're not doing anything wrong. Where is your conscience? Where is your common sense? You don't hear yourself talking? It's crazy. What is wrong with these people?
Hard to tell. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we're in some terrible times right now.
What can they do?
I don't know. Because, I mean, right now, the only option we have two options, comply or fight.
Exactly. So, I mean, obviously you cannot remove these people from power. They don't have the means. They don't have probably the reach to reach these people. I mean, it's way too crazy. And when you're talking about the Aboriginals, these people are poor. They don't have the resources. They're just like, they live normal, simple lives. They live far away from the cities. And the beast system is after them, definitely. And, I mean, I feel bad for them. And then again, ladies and gentlemen, this is not just Australia. Believe me, it is everywhere. And they're not backing down. The Great Reset criminals, which is the article I was just about to read from the National Review, explaining really exactly what was the plan. And again, a country like Jordan, the Queen of Jordan, is on the board of directors of the World Economic Forum. That's why in Jordan is different than in Egypt, Libya, or any of the African countries or the other Middle Eastern countries. Jordan is following the plan of the World Economic Forum down to the T, because again, the Queen is on the board. So you can see the difference. In Syria, they're not doing that. In Israel, I mean, Israel is on the board. You have Saudi Arabia, the Crown Prince is on the board. So these people that are connected to the head of the snake, obviously they're inflicting all this horror on their people. And it's getting tougher and tougher every day. But again, the world always looks up to the U.S., right? Is the U.S. going to come for the
rescue?
I just
keep going back. Yeah. I keep going back to older song by Rage Against the Machine called Darkness of Greed. And some of the lyrics on there is similar to what's going on. It says, AIDS is killing the entire African nation, and a vaccine is still supposedly under preparation. But these governments don't mind the procrastination. They say we'll kill them off, take their land, and go there for vacation.
Wow. Interesting lyrics, right?
Yeah.
And by the way, this band, they're not allowing anyone that's not vaccinated to come into their concerts. Isn't that funny?
Rage? No.
Yes.
Rage Against the Machine doesn't do that. Rage Against the Machine hasn't said that one time. There's a few of them that are completely against this, all of this, and they're not doing that. I believe it was Disturbed actually canceled concerts because the venue was trying to say you had to have the jab in order to come to the concert, and they said, no, if you're going to do that, we're not going to do a concert there.
I think I've heard somebody talking about, let me see if I can find the article. And so here's another one. Rage Against the Machine slams Kyle Rittenhouse verdict. They also, so here we go. Let's see what else. I think I've heard it last week or the week before. They said something about, again, allowing people to come into the concert. I forgot who. So they're supposed to be against the system, right? Their songs, their music, the whole notion is they are against the system, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. They used to be.
They used to be, right?
I know for a fact that Disturbed does not believe in any of this.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't see this, but if I find the article, okay. So I have no problem with anybody who wants to, you know, it's your concert. You want people to come in vaccinated. That's up to you. It's up to me if I want to go or not, right? I believe in that freedom. You go ahead and ask for it, but don't force it on me. I'm not going to show up to your concert. You're going to lose a lot of fans over it, and that's going to be your loss. So here is, and I think this is from, so this one was this one. All right, let's see. I think they, I'm reading this one, and I think it's from Yahoo News. It says here that some of the fans say that the range against the machine will never sell out, but I guess they released a new album.
I don't know. They might have.
I am not familiar with their music. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not a big fan of... what kind of music do they play? Like rock and roll, or is it like punk rock?
Grunge, I think, is what their status or their label was known as.
Right, right. Interesting. Yeah, I hope they stand their ground. I mean, you have Eric Clapton was upset about that, and he canceled the venues that have mandated that he mandates his own audience to, you know, be vaccinated. And so he put his foot down. But again, I think he took the jab and he got really bad side effects. And so he's now completely against it, and he speaks against it. Okay, so we have Coachella reverses course on COVID vaccine mandate for the 2022 festival. That's a good sign. If they want people to attend, they're going to have to, you know, think about financial profits. If not a lot of people show up, you're going to get screwed, basically.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, so do you want me to go ahead and read the article regarding the Great Reset?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, let's do that, and then we'll continue on with you if you have anything you want to share. So let's see here. Again, this is from, do I sound good to you? Is my voice coming clear?
Yeah.
Or it sounds far? Sounds good? Okay. So this is from the National Review. It says, The Great Reset, If Only It Were Just a Conspiracy, by Andrew Stafford in the National Review. And it says here, writing for the Spectator US, Ben Sixsmith gets to grips with the Great Reset, now being proposed by the World Economic Forum in Davos. And yes, despite a name that sounds as if it were conjured up in some of the conspiracism, Denker, fever swamps, the Great Reset really exists. The World Economic Forum, which organizes the annual conference Davos, has launched an initiative called Yes, the Great Reset. It has its own website. But after noting the involvement of partners such as Apple, Microsoft, Facebook, IBM, IKEA, Lockheed Martin, Ericsson, and July 6th, doubts whether the Great Reset can be seen, as some like to suggest, even allowing for a bit of a hype, as a socialist left Marxist or a global communist takeover plan. Fair enough, not least because the Great Reset is, in essence, corporatist, not communist. The participation of companies of the type that Six Smiths mentioned, in reality, the participation of a certain members of their senior management using shareholder funds for purposes that have nothing to do with the bottom line and everything to do with the wielding of power within a system akin to a concert, with the state, if necessarily the government, acting as a conductor. So here you go. So you got these top people in these corporates that are going to be acting like a conductor in a concert and directing the governments on what they want. That's like the essence of the whole thing, the takeover. Here it says, Hydra-headed ideology with origins in the pre-modern and a very mixed past, sometimes benignly, it influenced the formation of the West Germany social market economy, and sometimes not, it was an important element in pre-war fascist theory. The different form corporatism has taken make it tricky to define with precision, but they share a common core, the conviction that society should be organized by and for its principal interest groups. Let's call them the stakeholders, intermediated by and ultimately subordinate to the state. The individual does not get a look in. Recently, one expression of corporatism, stakeholder capitalism, has won strong support on both sides of the Atlantic. This might be expected in Europe, but has been taken up by the Business Roundtable and many leading firms in the U.S., allegedly a bastion of both free enterprise and democracy, is depressing. Looked at optimistically, the BRT and its C-suite cheerleaders are useful idiots. Looked at realistically, they are part of a managerial class grubbing for the power that flows from other people's money. Stakeholder-backed capitalism rests on the notion that a company's management owes a duty to more than its shareholders. It's something that Klaus Schwab, the World Economic Forum's founder and executive chairman, has been advocating for a long time. A key feature of the Great Reset is the idea that a stakeholder capitalism should, one way or another, be adopted. That would reduce a company's shareholders to just another category of stakeholders, effectively transferring the power that capital should confer away from its owners and into the hands of those who administer it. They are then accountable to, well, not quite clear whom. It is not difficult to grasp why so many corporate bosses are infused by stakeholder capitalism, because it's power. So basically, stakeholder capitalism is a betrayal of democracy as well as of its shareholders. The power it gives to managers is increasingly being used to support an agenda influenced by a cabal of activists, NGOs, representatives of the international community, and politicians too arrogant to go through the usual legislative process. That's actually quite accurate right there. That's quite accurate. So basically, here we go. These people already have powerful, this is a good quote. If you read the Great Reset in anticipation of some kind of a manifesto for the world tyranny, warns Six Smiths that you will be disappointed. There are no elaborate schemes for globe spinning coup d'etat and totalitarianism. The former is true, the latter somewhat less so. He says basically is that these people who own the most shares in these corporates, what they're going to do is they're going to use their power, their influence, to direct nation states on what they think is best going forward economically, socially. So if I believe, and you have them all in agreement on certain things, like, for example, the Green New Deal or the climate matter, which is, do you believe in climate change?
Yeah, the climate changes. The climate has changed every day since the beginning of time because it's natural climate changes, period. There have been many different studies, some that have been backwashed and whitewashed and they've hidden, and that have basically said that this whole climate change that we're going through right now has happened 5 or 6 times throughout history. So why is it that we're causing it this time when it's happened already repeatedly?
Right. And I think they understand, I mean, like, well, but it seems to be to me that they're usually, they're saying, oh, cars and emissions. But what really means, it's not that there's pollution from factories. Of course there is. We understand that. But are we causing the climate change because of our manufacturing, for example? The U.S. does not manufacture anything anymore. So
yeah.
I don't understand why they accuse the U.S., for example. But here we go. Again, the essence or the core of their problem is that they think there are too many humans breathing CO2 or exhaling CO2. So this is where the climate, so we are causing, the cows, mind you, the cows are causing climate change. So we need to eliminate cows and feed people crickets and roaches, right? I mean, how evil can these people be? I don't understand. Okay, we understand there's pollution from manufacturing or from, let's say, large cities. You have trash, you have, consumption, like especially where there is a lot of consumption. Like, and people throw away stuff. They don't fix them anymore, right? If you break your computer, you don't really take it to somebody to repair it. You just throw it out and you buy a new one. And so we understand that. And there are ways of that we can handle, you know, trash and recycling and all of that. And that doesn't seem like it's doing their bid. So their goal, again, is depopulation. They think we are the problem. And that's
yep.
just evil. That's just pure evil. I think we have a caller. Should we take a call?
Sure.
All right. 231, you are on the air. Welcome to the Right For You radio show.
Hello, Jamara. Hello.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Hello.
Hey, guys. I need your feedback. I found out some distressing news politically the other day, and I want to find out if you know about it. I was listening to the Alex Jones show, and he said that in a particular case in the federal courts, a secret document was revealed, was exposed. And what it showed was is that Pfizer had made an agreement, a secret treaty, with the United States and 50 other nations that gave Pfizer just about complete control of the world. And I'm not exaggerating. The complete control of the countries that signed the treaties, Pfizer can dictate whatever they want with regards to any political situation, legal situation, non-legal situation that they want. Doesn't have to be related to the vaccine at all. And I'm wondering, how did Pfizer get all this power? Why would the nations do this with Pfizer? And I heard it's also in conjunction with the UN, but as far as the influence of the UN is concerned, I don't know anything about it. It wasn't elaborated on. Do you guys know mm-hmm. about this? And if so, I want to know what the hell is going on.
That I don't know. I have not heard that. Though I would be very leery with anything Alex Jones says. I do know FEMA has basically done a very similar thing, and that's fairly been hidden. But as for Pfizer specifically, I have not heard.
What about you, Jermon?
I have not heard about that. I know that the Pfizer CEO last week was saying that anybody that's spreading conspiracy theories regarding their vaccines should be criminally prosecuted.
Well, to dovetail from that, in Russia, there's a lawmaker there who says that anybody who's talking about the vaccines in a misinformation type of way should be executed. So apparently Australia is not the only country that is going hog wild on this. So apparently it's also spread to Russia. But while I was holding on, waiting for Jemana to put me in, you guys were talking about hedge funds and controlling corporate interests. Mm-hmm. And that piqued my curiosity, because that's similar to what's going on with Pfizer, I presume. Because Pfizer would have to be controlled by a hedge fund unless they somehow discontinued selling their shares or allowing the hedge funds to buy their shares. But if they haven't, then when the treaties were signed with Pfizer, they are in essence signing a treaty with a hedge fund or hedge funds, which means BlackRock or Vanguard. And they, just like in the movie Network, they would be controlling Pfizer. And the corporate interest, which, Jemana, you were talking about before from that article.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are. We are now in the middle of a network where the corporations, which I've always figured probably owned the governments because they, the lobbyists are paying them off or bribing them. But to have 50 secret treaties to give power to one corporation, that's disturbing to me. That's something out of the ordinary. It's along the trajectory of, totalitarianism in the hands of corporations. But why just one? And why would nations give up their particular weapons, status, legal control to one corporation? That to me is disturbing. And I wanted to find out if you guys knew about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I know they're making immense profits. They're selling each dose, this is according to the New York Times, for $20 in the U.S. Israel is paying more. They're paying $30 per dose. So this is just a massive, massive profits. And you're talking, this is in the Justice Department in 2009. The pharmaceutical giant, Pfizer, and a subsidiary company paid $2.3 billion, with a B, billion dollars in the largest healthcare fraud settlement in history. So this criminal organization, you're telling me now, is running state nations.
That's exactly what I heard. State nations, the entire kit and caboodle. They can,
do we know,
therefore,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Do we know who the stakeholders in it, or the shareholders, whatever Klaus Schwab wants to call them?
It would have to be BlackRock. It would always be the hedge funds, because it doesn't matter if they will always buy the controlling interest. They have the billions of dollars to pour into buying the shares of any type of corporation. So even if you have famous shareholders like Warren Buffett, unless he has himself spent his own money to buy controlling shares in companies, he's probably going through a trust fund, which he probably owns. But that's just the way it is. The way our system is made up, whoever owns the controlling shares of a corporation, they own that corporation. So the hedge funds, they could own, like, say, 17% of a corporation. But that 17% is more than the other shareholders combined. So I'm just throwing that number out there as an illustration. But Chris, how come you don't like Alex Jones?
There's been more than a few things that he has done and been part of that I very highly disagree with, and I've seen a few reports since of such that he says one thing but does another. And a lot of his stuff is misinformation to some extent.
Well, I don't know about the misinformation, but I'd be interested to find out about what he says and then does. That's differently. I know that he exaggerates a lot because that's one of my bugaboos. My real bugaboo with him, I happen to like him, but my real bugaboo with him is that he's always saying it's documented, it's written, it's recorded, it's confirmed. But he never puts on his website these white papers that he says buffers his arguments. And I'm saying to myself, this guy's not stupid. But where is the evidence? Now, the articles, they link to different documents that would supposedly buffer his claims. But the white documents, the white papers themselves, he doesn't put them on the site. He says, go look it up. That, to me, is the way of losing your, at the very least, losing your audience. Because people are lazy. If you say to somebody, look it up, they may or may not look it up. But if they're already on your site, if they're already listening to your radio show or watching a TV show, they're more inclined to go to that website to find the articles, or not the articles, but the white papers, the real evidence that you're talking about. You know, and a lot of hosts do that. That's stupid to me. Don't say look it up. Say, come on over here. You know, we got it for you. What if exactly. That's frustrating to me. What have you heard about him that? Sorry, Germana.
I think a lot of people accused Alex Jones of being a controlled opposition kind of person. He throws in a lot of truth, but then here and there he's also like would say things that make people doubt where he's coming from. Same did with Joe Rogan. At first people were excited that he's, you know, been gonna expose a lot of truths, a lot of confirm a lot of conspiracy theories to be just conspiracies, and suddenly he kind of flipped, especially when it came to like chemtrails, for example. At first he was all about it, he got people to come and speak about it, and then all of a sudden he started saying people that believe in chemtrails are all cuckoos. So that's when it came to
Rogan.
Yes, Joe Rogan. So a lot of people started calling him a shill, that you're a sellout. There's a lot of science. I mean, I've read articles in the scientific journals regarding chemtrails. One of them is a scientist, last name is Herndon, and he did a whole study. He gathered samples from the air, from filters, and he said they're spraying something in the air, and it is aluminum. He did chemical analysis. He said aluminum, barium, strontium, and coal ash. And of course, it's not a secret that Bill Gates with Harvard University said that we're going to be blocking the sun, right, to cool the earth. We're going to spray our particles in the atmosphere and to reflect sunlight. So it's not a secret. We have the military are known to use spraying in the air to scramble radar signals, right? But when it comes out, but when you say, you're spraying something, then they call you cuckoo. So it's like the double speak they use, right? They want you to, if you say it, you're crazy. But if we say it, well, we say it. But you can't repeat it. You know what I mean? But as in Pfizer, I mean, I have to look into who, if it shows, who is really running the show. So what about Moderna and J&J? And what about the Chinese vaccine, which is actually approved in many countries in the Middle East, in the Far East? You have the Russian vaccine. I believe, I'm not sure if Janssen, is it an American company? I'm not even sure.
I don't know.
I am not even sure. But so now that, like I said, my brothers are being forced, there's no way, two ways about it. I figured yesterday, let me go on VARS and compare. So I went and I chose, first I chose Moderna, and I want all cases of death for males ages between 30 and 39. So, of course, we know VARS is not updated and being kept, you know, as into showing the real numbers. But so what showed, it showed about 25 cases of death after the Moderna vaccine. Then I went and I put the same variable, Pfizer, male, between 30 and 39, and cases of death. And the result was the list is too long to display. I swear on my children.
Yeah. Well, there's, I mean, if you go to the, well, you've been to the slide. They also have a disclaimer that it's not scientifically proven that anybody can report anything to that particular site. So they're trying to cover their ass in that particular way. But at the same time, I think a study has been shown that whatever's been reported to VAERS, especially in the vaccine area, that it's only 1 to 10% of what the actual numbers really are. So I think what's been reported is a couple of thousand deaths that people say is a result of the vaccine. So that means then that it could be 20,000 deaths or more.
Right.
So we don't really, yeah, you know, and we also, from what I understand, when there was a vaccine that was in the works to get for the H1N1 virus, there were, I think it was done by Pfizer as well, and there were 25 deaths. When the FDA found out that there were 25 deaths as a result of the particular operation, they scuttled the whole operation and made Pfizer or whoever the company was start all over again. But here we have 1,000 deaths, 2,000, 3,000 or more, depending upon who the sources are, and yet they're allowing this, all of them, Moderna, Pfizer, and the other ones, to continue. Even though in some countries, the Moderna vaccine, for example, is not allowed in certain countries because, according to them, the Moderna vaccine is too dangerous. And then when you take a look at the CDC, CDC, I mean, have you ever heard that they should be called ping pong? Because they flip-flop back and forth more than watching a table tennis game. Masks, you don't have to wear them, then you got to wear them. The dangers, they're light. No, they're very, very bad. Well, no, they're pretty light. It's airborne transmission is bad. The mask will protect you. No, the mask won't protect you. So they can't make up their mind. And they say, well, if you're vaccinated, you'll be protected about from getting the vaccine and from spreading it. Unless you're vaccinated, and you have to scratch yourself on the and say, wait a minute, if I'm vaccinated, I'm protected unless I'm vaccinated. Can somebody explain to me what's going on with their language? So you can't trust the CDC, you can't trust the NIH, you can't trust the FDA. So who can you trust? Nobody.
Nobody, exactly. By the way, I found a list of the investors of Pfizer. So I'm going to name the corporations, mm-hmm. and they're going to be, so whoever has the highest shares will be named first. Number one, Vanguard Group, $18 billion. Then comes
second
BlackRock.
One is BlackRock.
Correct.
Right.
Mm-hmm. State Street Corporation, Wellington Management Company, Capital World Investors, Geode Capital Management, Bank of America, Northern Trust, Bank of New York, State Farm Mutual Automobile Insurance, and Klaus Schwab Investment Management.
Good old Schwab from Davos, huh? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Then you have Morgan Stanley, Franklin Resources, Susquehanna International, Dimensional Fund Advisors, Legal and General Group, Massachusetts Financial Services, Deutsche Bank, Wells Fargo, Panameric Portfolio Associates, Royal Bank of Canada, T. Rowe Price Associates, Nuveen Asset Management, UBS Global Assets, Nordea Investment, with Swiss National Bank, LSV Asset Management, UBS Group, Invesco, Amundi, CalREPS, Sanders Capital, Sumitomo Mitsubishi Trust, Bank of Montreal, Ameriprise Financial, Canada Pension Plan Investment Board, Citadel Advisors, Robeco Investments, Credit Suisse, PNC Financial, Federal Investors, Principal Financial. I mean, the list is on and on, and I'm talking here, I'm scrolling down to the bottom of the long, long list, and let's see, I'm going to see the lowest number, which is $6.9 million, which is New York Teachers Retirement System. And it's crazy. I mean, the list is super long.
So what I'd like to know is the hedge funds, Vanguard and BlackRock, they're mainly in control of the companies that they've invested their monies in. Who owns BlackRock and who owns Vanguard?
Let's see. So you have BlackRock is the most. Let's go in. And let's see what's going on.
So and is it owned by a corporation or is it owned by an individual?
Let's go into more detail. This is actually really interesting. So BlackRock is an asset management, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see the filing here. So they have the top five stock holdings in AAPL, Amazon, Facebook, Google. That represents about 13% of their stock. And then you have other, let's see. Okay, so Vanguard actually has the most. They are the most invested in the same companies. Again, they have the same shares in Google, Apple, Facebook, Amazon. They're all playing the same game. Let's see.
Yeah, Vanguard's number one. They own the most shares, and BlackRock is number two. But who owns Vanguard and BlackRock? If it's, for example, Google owning BlackRock, then Google is in charge of everything, as an example.
Okay, so it says the Vanguard Group is the second largest investment firm in the world after BlackRock. It is the biggest issuer of mutual funds worldwide and the second mm-hmm. biggest issuer of ETFs. The company is unusual in the fund world in that it is owned by its different funds, which are turned owned by the company's shareholders.
Mm-hmm.
Is this like a pyramid scheme kind of deal? These people.
Well, it's definitely circular. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm going to put myself on mute because last time my app was interfering with the show. So before that happens again, I'm going to just lay back and put myself on mute and not interfere. And I'll come in when I have something to say.
Sure, no problem.
All right.
So let's see here. Oh, my God, they have Vanguard has more than $7.2 trillion in assets under management, second to BlackRock, Inc., which is $6.4 trillion. The company is headquartered in Pennsylvania. Vanguard is the largest issuer of mutual funds in the world and the second largest issuer of EFTs, and it has 209 U.S. funds as of 2021. So these are kind of like, total bond market index. So Vanguard prides itself in its stability, transparency, low cost, and risk management. It is a leader in the area of offering passively managed mutual funds and ETFs. John Bogle on starting the world's first index. So origins, founded by John C. Vogel as part of the Wellington Management Company. Let's see, so this is the person, and then, so, but it's ran by its, so whoever runs it really is who is putting the most investments into it. They basically kind of like Klaus Schwab whole idea of stakeholder, right, economy, which whoever dishes out the most money gets to run the country. It's not depending who is elected by the people. It's whoever who has the most cash, basically. So it's competition between, yeah, the richest people. So if I'm the richest one, that means I get to rule. And it kind of makes sense because you have the most, like they stole the wealth from the people the past with their COVID lockdowns, right? That was like the biggest transfer of wealth between from the middle and poorer class into the upper class, right? To the richest people, they became richer and the poor became poorer. And so you have these people competing. So the whole lockdown thing and stripping people from their jobs and closing small businesses is just basically, oh, we are in a race. Who's going to become the richest one? So you can become a ruler of the world.
Yep.
Greed has no limit, doesn't it?
Of course not.
Like, do these people not say, hey, I've had enough? What is enough? Like, what is it that you're going to do with the money? It's interesting.
Yeah.
Definitely interesting. And I don't know if you heard about Elon Musk. He called out the United Nations, I think, on Twitter. Have you heard about that?
I heard something about it.
So let's see, I think he took it like about world hunger or something. So United Nations called Elon Musk bluff, unveils plan to spend his $6.6 billion to end world hunger. And I think he called them, he said, you are pedophiles, bunch of pedophiles, I think, which is good for him. So he offered to pay to end world hunger if the UN explains how it would spend his money. Responding to the challenge, the UN World Food Program has produced detailed plans to stave off global famine. And then I just, let's see. So he responded. He fired back at the United Nations. Officials claimed that one-time donation of about $6 billion will help solve the world hunger, saying that he'd pony up the cash if the UN publishes their precise spending plan. Let's see what else. And I think he told CNN that a donation of just 2% of Musk's wealth, which stands at a whopping $311 billion, would help solve the world hunger and save about 42 million lives. I want to see what happened, his reply, because I know a lot of truthers were happy with his reply because he's been, you know, taking a stand against a lot of them. People are starting to notice that he's not being manipulated by any people. He's not like being bought, basically. He really does what he wants. It's not he's taking orders from anybody. And I hope that's true. A friend of mine met him in person. In a wedding, he was invited, and so she approached him, and she told me he's just like any normal guy. He doesn't act. He told me he's a little bit more on the geeky side. He believes in AI. He believes in enhancing humans by integrating them into, you know, the machine. Basically, he believes in man being mended with machines. He believed in making it because he said robots will take over, so we have to be able to compete with the machine, basically. He does not believe in God. He thinks that the next step of evolution is to make humans smarter, faster in calculations, or we're going to be eliminated by the machine itself. So she told him, I'm going to pray for you. I think you need prayers. And he just, you know, smiled, and he just took it as a joke. He's very simple. He's not complicated. It's just, she told me he's just smart. He thinks about the future a lot. He does not think about what's going to happen today. Very, very futuristic thinking. And he's got the money to implement and invest and try and error. So she was actually admired. She admired him. She told me he's very cool, down-to-earth guy. He does not seem like he's arrogant or stuck up. No, he was dressed casually, and he was just chatting with everybody. He does not, it's not, he does not put that persona that, oh, you can't come and talk to me. He was very approachable. And he's young, you know, he's young. And so, yeah, she gave me a lot of, like, positive notes about him. But very ambitious. He definitely, though, he thinks that we humans, there is no need for a god if you have technology. That's kind of his point of view. And she was offended because she's very religious. And she told him, I'm going to pray for you. And she walked away. So basically.
Yep. I don't know about Elon Musk. He's going a little bit. I mean, all I keep hearing him talk about is AI and artificial intelligence and the future and technology. And I'm like, the way he talks sounds an awful lot like Skynet from Terminator.
Right, right. Yeah, so here's Breitbart actually reported on it. It says here, Elon Musk called out David Beasley, executive director of the United Nations World Food Program, on social media over reports that children in developing countries had been forced to have sex with UN officials in order to receive food. Musk says that he will donate $6 billion to fight world hunger if the UN explains exactly how the amount will solve the problem, adding a stipulation that the organization use open source accounting so the public sees precisely how the money is spent. Good for him. And, I mean, that's disgusting, you know, making hungry people. Do you, as a UN official, sexual favors in order to have some food? Wow.
All right.
And I'm sure he didn't just say that out of the blue. I'm sure he just did not make that up. There must be some truth to it, if not completely true, which makes it more disturbing. So here it says the investigation revealed that the UN's children's agency, UNICEF, failed to act on reports of sexual abuse from the UN officials in these countries that are abusing the, oh my God. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. So it's not just any branch, it's the UNICEF, it's the children. The branch that's supposed to care for the children is the one that's abusing the children.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I hate the United Nations. I don't think they've done anything positive for the world. I mean, what have they achieved?
Tearing us apart.
Right? That's what it seems like. They're every single branch under their organization seems to be corrupt. The World Health Organization is part of it. The UNICEF. You have the World Bank, the World Food Bank, many other, many branches. And, of course, we have the whole climate stuff is coming from under the United Nations, correct?
Yep.
Mm.
And remember, the United Nations military arm is NATO, who has complete control over the Norfolk Naval Base.
And they call out for wars, too. They approve if a country wants to attack another, right? Or sanctions
they
on
are
countries.
They are the quote-unquote peacekeeping arm of the United Nations.
Right. Double talk, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Double talk. So
we live in 1984.
Yeah, we are. What a nightmare. So basically, Twitter did not block Elon Musk. I bet you they've probably tried to say, hey, force him to pull out his tweet or something. So he did quote from the express.co.uk magazine. Oh, he's very smart. So it says the article details a report exposing how the UN peacekeepers, like you said, the peacekeepers, right, orally and illegally raped children in Central African Republic, and how top officials at the UN's children agency, the UNICEF, ignored the scandal in an apparent attempt of cover-up. No one has been arrested more than a year and a half after the UN authorities were made aware of the sexual abuse allegations, which was published in 2015. Most of the media reports concerning the Twitter exchange didn't even mention Musk's challenging Beasley about the... Yeah, very interesting. So there is a huge scandal that's been covered up. Good for you, Elon Musk. I will give you a high five if I see you in person. Good job. So there is actually a report. Wow. Same with like other, for example, the Red Cross. You have all these organizations, right? Like the supposedly the nonprofit organizations. They do all kinds of messed up shit. You have the Hillary Clinton Foundation. Remember, they were trying to traffic children from Haiti. That was a big scandal.
A lot of foundations are set up just for tax evasion. Just like the Clinton Foundation. Whatever money pours into the Clinton Foundation, you know that those people who are pouring in those millions, they're going to get back $1 million worth of favors from the Clintons. And one way to make people believe that they're legitimate, that is the Clintons, is that Hillary, for example, was it Bill? A few years ago, getting $250,000 for a speech. And people were probably thinking, well, they're worth it. I don't think they're worth it. $250,000 for an hour and a half speech? That's not a money laundering scheme? Okay.
Oh, definitely. All of these nonprofit organizations are doing multiple, like, level crimes, like you said, tax evasion, bribery, cover-ups, you name it. And, of course, they cannot be tax audited. I don't even know if there's paper trails. But, hey, Chris, you want to start a nonprofit organization?
Right.
And join Vanguard and BlackRock and invest in Pfizer?
I know, it's just sad.
Yeah.
If you do that, you rule the world. So it's a worthy ambition if you're really psychotic.
yeah, exactly, right? I mean, I gotta not only sell my conscience, I gotta sell my soul to the devil, literally. I gotta join Lucifer and the team, and I'm like, here we go, let's kill more people. Let's sacrifice them on the altar of stakeholder capitalism.
Sure, especially. Yeah, that's right, especially children. Get a hold of the kids from the sex traffickers and then keep them locked up inside your basement. And, if you're a Luciferian and if they do what supposedly they do is to drain the blood from the kids, kill them, torture them, rape them in order to move up the ladder of the Illuminati.
Yeah.
These are psychos. And I don't have any evidence that that kind of thing goes on, but I surely believe that it probably does, knowing that we on planet Earth are human beings, and that's not a compliment.
Yeah. Absolutely. I keep forgetting the name of the person that spoke, the Austrian investor. I keep forgetting his name, I think. And I tried to look for him on YouTube. Of course, it's impossible to find anybody. But I wanted to play his soundbite when he's talking about how these bankers, their investments, corporations, whatever, just like, Vanguard, BlackRock. So he said, we can take a country down. Literally, we get the order from on top and we break the country overnight. by selling stocks or buying stocks, whatever they want to do, right? And he says, you know, back in the 70s, it used to be more cash transactions than digital. And he said, we, in the middle of the night, we would move truckloads of cash in and out of countries. And he kept in getting in more and more into the circle. He gained more trust of these bigger heads, you know, of the investment people. And then until he was invited to one of those kind of like eyes wide shut party. And he thought it was amusing. He said they were all naked people. They're naked, beautiful, naked women. So he was going there just for to look at the beautiful women, basically, and just like there's some crazy stuff going on. And so the deeper he got into this whole thing, he ended up finally being invited to a black mass. And he wasn't sure what was happening until he said, and that's what broke me. And the reporter asked him, what do you mean? And he told her, child sacrifice. And she asked him, did they want you to kill a child? And he said, I couldn't. And that's where that was it. They knew the very next day they put a hit on him. So he had to leave the country, and he had to be in hiding, I think, over 15 years until whoever was his boss passed away, and he was able to go back and look for his wife and kids. Basically, like, he was dead. He lost everything, all his money. He went from a billionaire into, like, nothing now. And so the details of his story is hair-raising, honestly. The way they deal, the way they, if they put you as a target, if you receive an order that this country now is a target, they can completely destroy its economy overnight. And it's all manipulation of markets. There's nothing organic. It's all, you know, just deliberate acts of destroying a nation. And it's so easy to be done.
Yeah. You say you can't find it on YouTube. I don't know. Maybe you should take
a
look
at Gandhimara. Yeah. His name is Roland Bernard.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, Roland Bernard.
Roland Bernard. Okay, good, because I'm going to look for it. And if it wasn't on YouTube, it would probably either be on Band Video or Rumble or what's the other one?
BitChute.
BitChute, yeah. So can I – I think there's a – he speaks in Austrian, but I think there's a voiceover of the interview. It's about, I think, five parts. So the whole interview is about maybe 3 hours, broken into four parts. And so in the first part, he speaks about the use of child sacrifice. That's crazy. I mean, it's terrifying. And he's Dutch, my bad. I said he's Austrian. He's Dutch. Dutch is from what country? I don't even know. Do you know, Chris? Dutch? If they say you're Dutch, you're from which country?
Denmark.
Denmark. Oh, that's Danish, no?
I had to think for just a second.
No, the Netherlands.
Netherlands.
Oh, yeah, Netherlands. That's right.
Netherlands. Yep. So do you like to listen a little bit, Joe, of his testimony?
Sure.
Let's play.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, let's play this.
There's a ring in this world. So, lots of conflict. All the things involved.
Informaties op een bepaalde manier met elkaar te combineren.
But need to be taken into account within the playing field.
Rekening mee moet houden binnen het speelveld.
Which is a very detailed process. You stand out when you are gifted in this. This is the reason I was trusted with the full 100% of the information where it concerned my jobs. So, I didn't know about everything they knew, but everything that I needed to know regarding the case, I was working with colleagues. I was often put in the leading role because I kept a good overview of the situation.
You're good at making quick switches?
Yes, and I was good at innovative thinking to solve the problem. I had fun creating solutions in such a way to always stay ahead and outsmart them, staying within the rules of the game but playing around with them to make everything match up. I loved that game. However, on the other hand, you had a great amount of responsibility and you learned more and more about the real world, since through the financial world you learn all of the actual truth.
So you say all. In what regard?
Well, your clients give you glimpses of how the world really works.
In hindsight, I still didn't know everything, but I did know a lot, because my clients were banks who didn't want blood on their hands. But within those banks, there always is a number of people who know damn well what is going on. So, like 1% within a bank knows the truth of the matter regarding the happenings within the world, which is not surprising, considering they are involved in the flows of money. Those are your clients. You also have governments to deal with, multinationals. You have to deal with secret services and what they now call terrorist organizations. You get all of the groups that are involved with the big money as clients. Then you start seeing the connections. So, they might be compartmentalized, as you just mentioned, regarding knowledge. But because I am in the middle, I see how they relate to another. You see the money coming from this place, then going to that place, etc. You keep gaining information and thereby an overview of what is really going on.
So do you have to serve and keep all of those groups happy, including terrorist organizations? You were trying to keep everybody happy?
Yes.
My God.
That was my job.
Keeping all the balls in the air.
Yes, indeed. So one of the things that I found out, I did not know that before, but now I do. It's about secret services. You think they are there to serve and protect a people, country, etc., but they actually turn out to be the criminal organizations, to be more precise. The system is heavily so. We are talking about financing wars, creating wars, so basically creating a lot of misery in this world. So, lots of conflict. And then I think to myself, if only people knew what the world is really like, secret services will stop at nothing. Nothing. But they also have their flows of money, because if they are trading in drugs or weapons, or, for that matter, people, all that money has to go somewhere. Everything has to be financed.
You say it, but you could confirm they are doing this?
All of them. All of them. So the entire world as we think we know it is just an illusion we believe in. Which is something you find out in this line of work and where it all went wrong for me, to put it that way.
Right. You mean finally the deal?
In hindsight, yes, it was for the best, but my freezer started to malfunction. There were things happening. For example, I went to a different trade market and one of my colleagues there said, Ronald, you remember that case with the Italian lira? I sometimes mention that during talks as well. Do you remember those deals in which we did massive dumping of the lira, which reduced the value of the currency? Which caused a company in Italy to be hit in such a way. They went bankrupt. And then you hear the exchange. You remember that successful deal with the lira? Yes. And then they say, did you know that the owner committed suicide and left a family behind? Things like that. And back then we laughed at it. Altogether, all of us. We looked down on people, mocked them. It was just a product, waste. Everything was worthless trash. Nature, the planet, everything could burn and break.
Just useless parasites.
Just as long as we met our goals, as long as we were growing, many of my colleagues ended up drinking or using drugs. Not me. Maybe I should have.
Or not.
No, in hindsight, it was for the best and I'm happy to still be alive. However, all those horrible things started to eat at me.
Can you give an example? Because I can sense a lot of terrible things happen to you.
Yes, it is difficult for me to talk about.
I can feel that, but only whatever you wish to share is all right.
Yes, I only talk about things I want to tell, but it does evoke lots of emotions and with my conscience not being in the freezer, it touches me deeply.
Yes, I feel the same way. All right, can you tell me the worst thing that has happened that caused the tipping point in your situation?
was voor mij gewoon toen.
Nou, dat is dus.
Well, that was the beginning of the end. You get 30 pinters in circles.
Je tekent ook eigenlijk een.
And you sign a lifetime contract, not with blood or anything, to never disclose names of companies, organizations or people. I think that is why I am still alive. You have to stick to it. If we are talking about the worst things that I have experienced, I just told you about things that made the freezer glitch. My conscience started to show itself. Let's put it this way. I was training to become a psychopath and I failed. I did not complete the training and didn't become a psychopath. My conscience came back and the most difficult part for me was, because I had such a great status there, I was a success. I was trusted with the people playing at this level.
Mensen in deze wereld die dus op dat niveau speelden. Ik moet ook zeggen dat.
To put it carefully, most of these people followed not very mainstream religion. So, you have Catholics, Protestants, all sorts of religions. These people, most of them, were Luciferians. And then you can say, religion is a fairy tale. God doesn't exist. None of that is real. Well, for these people, it is truth and reality, and they served something immaterial, what they called Lucifer. And I also was in contact with those circles, only I laughed at it because to me they were just clients. So, I went to places called Churches of Satan.
So now we are talking about Satanism.
Yes. So, I visited these churches just as a visitor dropped by, and then they were doing their holy mass with naked woman and liquor and stuff. And it just amused me. I didn't believe in any of this stuff, and was far from convinced if any of this was real.
It was just a spectacle to you.
Yes, in my opinion, the darkness and evil is within the people themselves. I didn't make the connection yet, so I was a guest in those circles and it amused me greatly to see all those named women and the other things. It was the good life. But then at some point, I was invited, which is why I'm telling you all this, to participate in sacrifices abroad. That was the breaking point. Children.
You were asked to do that?
Yes, and I couldn't do that.
Would you like to stop for a moment, by the way?
No. And then I started to slowly break down. I lived through quite a lot as a child myself, and this really touched me deeply. Everything changed. But that is the world I found myself in.
He's crying here, by the way. He's like, his tears are falling on his face, and he's choking up, talking about what really made him break. So let's continue. I think there's a little bit more to this story.
And then I started to refuse assignments within my job. I could no longer do it, which made me a threat. I was no longer capable of functioning optimally. My performance started to shake and I had refused tasks. I had not participated. The purpose of the whole thing, eventually, in that world, is that they have everybody in their pocket. You need to be susceptible to blackmail. And blackmailing me proved to be very hard if I look back on it. They wanted to do that through those children. And that broke me.
Is that you are not telling me something new, what they also do in politics.
If you Google this, you'll find enough worldwide witness accounts to know this isn't a Walt Disney fairy tale.
Walt Disney verhaaltjes.
Unfortunately, the truth is that worldwide they have been doing this for thousands of years. I once studied theology, and even in the Bible you find references to these practices with Israelites. The reason the first 10 tribes were banished to Babylonia was because of these rituals with children, including the sacrificing of children. So this is pertinent. All this made me believe, because I realized there was more to life than meets the eye. There is a whole invisible world. It is real. You really do talk about a dark force and a manifestation of light. So, I resorted to studying theology to make sense of it all.
And psychology as well, if I remember correctly.
Yes, but that I did in my first life, because through commercial psychology, mass psychology, I was able to manipulate situations for my own benefit.
That is scary, because if you dig into that, you find Tavist Institute and Mind Control, MKUltra, Monarch and the like.
Yes, that is correct, but that was all part of the job. Through training at the job, I got into that more deeply, because when you are making deals, you also need to manipulate the media. You have to manipulate lots of things, because nothing can be seen as it is. Everything has to appear to be something different. You see the people as a flock of sheep. You put a couple of bored colleagues and drive them in a direction. And to be honest with you, I still see that happening around me. People are still, through the systems and methods that we ourselves used to use, being treated in that same way, and it still works. People still don't understand how it really works and are still on the level of as long as I have my beer and whatever. Completely self-absorbed, also a survival mechanism. I mean, it is the program after all. But you still see how stupidly easy it is to put people in a certain direction when you are the one pulling the strings that is.
Mass psychology.
Yes, and later, much later, in all those studies and discoveries, I found a document which they are claiming is bullshit, of course, the Protocols of Zion. And nowadays I recommend everyone to read the whole of that incredibly boring document. Just work through it, read it though.
We are also talking about Zionism.
Yes, of course. If you read the Protocols of Zion and really study them and understand, then it is like reading the newspaper of the daily life. How from their position of ultimate power and ultimate it has literally become. But that is only because the people don't stand up for themselves. They don't realize what reality is.
And we have all been programmed. If you dare to say you are against Zionism, then you are branded an anti-Semite.
The negative, you can say evil, the Luciferians, the Satanists, whatever you wish to call it, it is a real entity. I have found that what is written in the Bible, and not just the Bible, you can find it in so many books. There really has been a moment of separation from the manifestation of light, in which a group went their own way and are carrying an intense hatred, anger. The people who do not underestimate the severity of this are but few, because this is an all-annihilating force that hates our guts. It hates creation. It hates life. And it will do anything to destroy us completely. And the way to do that is to divide humanity. Divide and conquer is their truth. Humanity is a manifestation of light. That is the true creation. As long as you divide them based on political parties, skin color, you name it, venue, from a Luciferian point of view that is, suppress the full capacities of your enemy, their full power. They can't stand up for themselves, because if that would happen, the Luciferians would lose. Then this monster, the greedy monster, would disappear. I tell people about this old American general who puts an entire room of people in the dark. The eyes adapt to the darkness, but you can't see a thing. The general doesn't say a word and suddenly he flicks on a lighter, one little light. And due to the prolonged darkness, you experience a manifestation of light from a single point and everyone can slightly see each other again. And then he says, that is the power of our light.
Beautiful.
Unite. Come together. And this entire ship story ceases to exist. That's how fast it could happen. But that is easy for me to say now. But then I was in a period of my life in which I was crumbling down.
Could you tell us something specific about that? How did that happen? Because you were invited.
I started to refuse assignments. My conscience came back after the request involving the children and I started to refuse more and more. I had a conscience and I couldn't function anymore.
But you did still show up at work after that?
I didn't really have a choice. I had my own business with several offices and employees. Everything was still rolling.
It must have been hard.
Yes, it got very hard, all the tensions. So, on the one hand, you are playing with money on a high level, in which you can't afford to make mistakes. Otherwise, everything falls down at once. Your entire business is ruined. Everybody involved, including yourself. Then you are really screwed. So that brings a lot of stress, fracturing in the resurfacing of a conscience. I was warned off when I got into this. Don't do it if you can't put your conscience at minus 100 degrees in the freezer.
And you probably realized it then?
Yes, I heard myself laugh at it back then. But it wasn't a joke at all. I totally did not understand where I really got into.
And your proverbial freezer was switched off?
Broken. I couldn't do it anymore. So, I tried to work through it, keep up appearances. I didn't know how to get out of this. I was trapped as well. Everybody was trapped. This all led me to crash completely eventually. My body just simply stopped. The first thing I saw was my mother crying at the intensive care.
You ended up at the IST?
Yeah, I really shut down.
You had literally crashed?
Yes. At that time, I didn't believe in anything. Not I can still recall how I saw. From that corner, I was looking down upon myself. I saw how they were working on me.
You had a near-death experience.
Well, you could call it that. I have seen I am not my body. I'm in my body. But I am not just my body. I have seen them working on me. And later on, I've been reluctant to talk about it for a long time. I really talked about it much later. But when I did, I had researched so many things already and started to believe. I was starting to better understand the spiritual and the material. At that point, this intense experience got its own place. The realization that I'm not my body. It's just a vessel. So, I lived through all of that, but I also needed a long time to recover.
Yes, of course.
Yes, I was a train wreck. Complete wreck. I was completely burned out. I had crashed and the body needed a year to recover. Because I don't really want to get into it now, but in those circles, I got tortured physically during my exit time. This was in order to make sure I would never break the contract of secrecy. So, I was taken for a certain amount of time. I was treated. All those factors together just increased the stress I was experiencing. Literally running full speed towards my own end.
Do you mean abductions, as well call it, or programming?
No, they exposed me to certain types of torture.
bepaalde marteling had laten ervaren.
That makes sure you'll never damage anyone in that world.
Iets of iemand zal beschadigen uit die wereld.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that back then, so this is all from hindsight. It did all happen that way. So the end of my first life was so extreme that I couldn't handle it anymore.
Zoveel gebeurd. Ik trok het niet meer.
I couldn't handle it anymore. In no way. However, my mind power was so strong that it only happened within to my own body. That was, well, I didn't know what to do anymore. There were no options left for me. So that is why sometimes I think, of course that is not true, but I wish, like so many colleagues, I had taken the drugs and alcohol route. At least my end would have been more gentle, because most of them are just dead by now. Even though I know there are more strawmen walking around, there are little still alive whom I knew back then. Most of them are already gone. Well, I was dead too, but I'm still here.
So, you still have something left to do.
Yes. I suppose you could say that, but that is, I can't say in short, since I don't know how long we have been talking, the world that I found myself in. If you have any specific questions, then I can answer them, but I had hoped to be more concise, but I just don't know how.
Well, you have my gratitude for all you have shared.
To me, it is still a very big deal.
And that's the end of the first part. Very interesting, right? What do you guys think?
That is very interesting. I am going to have to read that Protocols of Zion. I found it, so.
You did?
Perusing through a couple of,
Uh-huh.
I did send it to you already. But,
oh, thank you.
Yeah, just perusing through a couple of things, it's like, oh my.
What? What did you find?
It's 54 pages long, so.
Oh, so I thought he said it was like long and boring, but okay. What did you read so far?
It's very dry. It is very dry, but 54 pages of text is fairly decent when it's dry like this.
Okay. And who are these people? Where did they come from?
No one knows. Let me get back up here to the top. It actually does talk about that a little bit.
You talk Zionism, you're talking Jewish Zionism, I think.
Yes. Yes.
Which is
repeatedly
what some...
throughout this thing, it refers to non-Jews as the Goyim, which is kind of a Hebrew slander of the Gentiles, the non-Jews.
Got it.
The protocols themselves little need to be said in the way of introduction. The book in which they are embodied was published by Sergei Nilus in Russia in 1905. A copy of this is in the British Museum bearing the date of its reception, August 10, 1906. All copies that were known to exist in Russia were destroyed in the Kerensky regime, and under his successor, the possession of a copy by anybody in Soviet land was a crime sufficient to ensure the owner shot on sight. Let's see. Where are the elders? The secret. This is the secret that has not yet been revealed. They are the hidden hand. They are not the quote board of deputies, the Jewish parliament in England, or the quote universal Israelite alliance, which sits in Paris. But the late Walter Rathenau of the Alleg Minor Electris. Geschelhaft, I don't speak Russian, unfortunately, and I'm not good. I've got German background, but not Russian background, has thrown a little light on the subject, and doubtless he was in possession of their names, being in all likelihood one of the chief leaders himself. Writing in the Weiner Freie Presse in December 24, 1912, he said, 300 men, each of whom knows all the others, govern the fate of the European continent, and they elect their successors from their entourage. So, no one really knows.
So, I'm assuming like the Ashkenazi, they caused a lot of, let me look this up, because this is, so it's called the Protocols, and it has nothing to do with the Talmud, the teachings of the Talmud?
No. I'll read you off the titles of each protocol. There are 24. The Basic Doctrine, Economic Wars, Methods of Conquest, Materialism Replace Religion, Despotism and Modern Progress, Takeover Technique, Worldwide Wars, Provisional Government, Re-Education, Preparing for Power, the Totalitarian State, Control of the Press, Distractions, Assault on Religion, Ruthless Suppression, Brainwashing, Abuse of Authority, Arrest of Opponents, Rulers and People, Financial Program, Loans and Credit, The Power of Gold, Instilling Obedience, and the Qualities of the Ruler are the titles of each protocol.
Oh my God. It sounds like what's happening to us today, one by one.
Yeah. And just so you know, the copy that I'm reading from is dated, well, it was uploaded on March 31st, 2001.
No way. In 2001. Hmm. So, basically, let's see here. For the protocols themselves, little need to be said in the way of injunction. The book in which they are embodied was published. Like I think that's what you read. But where is who? Okay, the elders. This is a secret which has not been revealed. They are the Hidden Hand, the Board of Deputies, the Jewish Parliament in England. They're not the Jewish Parliament of England. They're not the Israelites. Well, who are they? The Illuminati? No, they're not the Illuminati. I mean, so as history developed, the scheme was worked out in detail and completed by men who were subsequently initiated in this question. These learned men decided by peaceful means to conquer the world for Zion with the slyness of the symbolic snake, whose head to represent those who have been initiated into the plans of the Jewish administration, and the body of the snake to represent the Jewish people. The administration was always kept a secret, even from the Jewish nation itself, as the snake penetrated into the hearts of the nations, which it encountered, it undermined and devoured all of the non-Jewish power of these states. So the snake eating itself, right? Or no?
Yep.
Pretty it much.
It's the eternal circle. It's infinity.
So basically, it's true what they say. About, you know, the people in question. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure. I mean, there's like, for example, I've seen so the Orthodox Jews, you have them divided within themselves. So some believe that being Jewish is not a state. So we do not belong in, let's say, in Israel or Palestine. It's for the Arabs, whatever. And then they have a Jewishness is that we are, it's a religion. It's not a state. Then you have the other side of the Jewish people saying, no, this is our land and we must take it back, right? So there's a big divide between themselves as well. Which is very interesting.
Yep.
Right. And so you have the ones that want to conquer the world, and you have the ones that want to just, you know, worship God, I guess, their God, and they just want to be left in peace. Very interesting. And then you have, who runs the world? Yeah, it's a very complicated question, obviously. I'm sure the bankers, but then when you say the bankers, who are the bankers? And then it's like you're going into a circle. It's the same group of people. It makes sense.
Yeah.
If you think about it, really.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it says on the money, in God we trust. It's not really it's the God that is known like the the Christian God or the Muslim God. The God is the God of greed. That's the God that they trust. So what do you think about this guy, Roland Bernard? You think he's telling the truth or he's just...
Just reading a little bit of the Protocols of Zion thing.
Right. And do share. And let me see if Joe is still on the line. Joe, what do you think about what... Roland Bernard said, I mean, it is obvious there is the powers that be do these things. I don't believe personally of Q, the whole QAnon. I do believe it's a psyop, but because they stole the message. So I followed this whole story from the Clinton emails from the get-go, and I went to WikiLeaks and I've read the emails from her... what's his name? The guy and his brother that worked for the Clintons. I forgot his name. And I followed the whole story from the beginning before the Q movement stole Pizzagate, basically. And so
yeah.
I followed that trail from the beginning. And then when the whole Q thing got stolen and it got branded the Q conspiracy theorists, there is definitely truth to that, 100%. The whole thing with the handkerchief and the walnut sauce and this weird terms and emails. I mean, but then you want to trust in the system. Maybe they will get investigated, but by who? I mean, like they are all, like they said, they all corrupt to the core. So who do you turn to?
No.
Do we want the system to collapse completely and we rebuild from the beginning? Because
honestly,
it's impossible
I think that's
to
what
drain
needs
the
to happen.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
yeah.
That's what has to happen is we have to destroy and completely just remove the government and start over.
But then again, you don't have people that are going to, like, let's say the new good people that are going to take over. Greed is going to get to them because that entity, right, that dark entity that they call Lucifer is going to manifest again, and these people will be bribed, and the corruption starts all over again. So being
self-governed. That's why they quote every 2 to 3 generations.
Yeah, that's true, right? Yeah. Yeah, so...
To be completely removed and restarted. That way the corruption can't get a good hold.
Do you believe in term limit for elected officials?
Yeah. I think every elected official, no matter how important or not important they are, should be term limited.
Yeah.
And it should be a 2-term limit across the board, period, end of story.
Mm-hmm.
All the way from your city council to the president and everything in between.
Correct. Yep, they're not going to be staying there long enough to even accept a bribe. I agree. You know, speaking of Nancy Pelosi, so, you know, I don't know if you heard, but she bought a mansion, millions, I think $12 million mansion in Florida to retire.
Yep, 25 million.
So Pelosi left the shithole she created in San Francisco to go and live under the beautiful, beautiful state of Florida, run by a Republican who is all about the law and, you know, prosecuting crime properly, not letting criminals just break into stores and stealing. You know, funny how people are not holding her accountable for her decision. She should live where she's, you know, the heaven that she created, right, in San Francisco.
I cannot believe
she was allowed to purchase a home in Florida. She should have been banned. No, ma'am, you are not allowed. I would definitely put a stop to that if I had a say-so in the matter. I'd be like, no, ma'am, you go back where you came from. Yeah, must be nice, right? And I hope Democrats see the hypocrisy in this, and I hope they are paying attention.
They won't. They're too blind. They're going to think that it's just perfectly fine.
Yeah, unfortunately. Like they said, the brainwashing is real.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Unbelievable. Yeah, so you got Barack Obama's living there, too. And what's funny is that it's right on the ocean. So they don't believe in climate change or that the water is going to rise and kill everybody. The coastal cities are going to disappear, obviously not. So, yeah, here you go. Close in on that one.
The other thing you have to remember is it's a man-made island known as Jupiter Island.
A man-made island? Really?
Yep. Jupiter Island is a man-made island off the Florida coast.
Uh-huh. Wow. Just like, you know, Emirates, Dubai, whatever, they are building islands. They're expanding their lands by building into the ocean. Amazing.
China did the same thing. That's how they're trying to claim the entire South China Sea, is because they're building islands to take over the sea.
Uh-huh. Interesting. So expanding their nation. And I wonder, like, is this stable, like, scientifically, to build, to expand? I mean, are they building out of sand? That's crazy.
That I don't know.
Right? That's amazing how they're doing
but
it.
But, I mean, there's only so far they can go before they really can't, because it gets too deep.
Right. Very interesting. And then what about, like, waves and earthquakes? How stable it is. Amazing how technology. You know, I heard that at one point, because they're trying to transfer. Well, Emirates have been doing cloud seeding for a while. And so it's the same company that's doing they're inducing rain in Jordan. It's called WeatherTech. It's a U.S.-based company. It has branches in Germany and it has in the U.S. And so WeatherTech, they are being used by Jordan and Emirates to induce rain. They want to turn the deserts into green lands, right? But at one point, they were wondering about drinking water. So I think that was the last time I was in Jordan, and I was reading an article in the newspaper, and it said that they are trying to drag an iceberg from the southern pole, so they're going to pull it all the way to the Gulf Sea, and they're going to take that water and for drinking water. Amazing. So they get to drag a whole iceberg through the ocean. I guess if you have enough money, you can do whatever you want.
I suppose.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, they're building a lot of islands over there, and they're naming them. Each island, basically, is under a country's name. So this is like England, the island of England, island of U.S., the island of Panama, the island of Brazil, Venezuela, whatever, like they're naming all kinds of stuff. Each island has like 2-3 villas or mansions on them. It's the life over there.
Yeah.
And of course they signed a peace treaty with Israel, and they have now exchanged embassies, and they're doing relationships, and you know, it's just normal. And most countries were actually under Trump's administration. They decided all of a sudden that, hey, we got business with Israel now that we want to settle. After all these years, over 70 years of wars and hatred, overnight, they have now common interest, which is, by the way, part of it is Iran. Iran, see, you have Saudi Arabia, the biggest enemy is Iran, because you're talking about now Sunnis, which is the followers of Muhammad, and that's Saudi Arabia. And then you have the Shiite, which are the followers of Ali, and that's Iran. It's both branches of Islam, but they're worse enemies. And so now you have a common enemy is between Saudi and Israel is Iran. So now what is that saying? My best friend or something, my friend is enemy. I forgot that saying. You're my,
the enemy of my friend, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, that's the one. That is the one. And I actually remember one of, I think a London Reel is off YouTube right now. I think he got purged with the rest of the Truth of Channels. And he had this billionaire, I forgot his name, on his show. And so he's in a conference. I got to remember, I have a bad memory when it comes to name, but it will come to me. And so this lady stood up to ask him a question. He's like, hey, you rich people, what are you going to do about the environment and the whole CO2? And he's like, shut up, sit down, lady, shut up. And he's like, literally, like, cursing at the lady. And he's like, you're stupid. And then she was without the mic, and she's screaming in the background. And finally, the London Real guy, he's like, can you just not sit down, let him answer, give him a chance to answer you about the environment. And he told her this. He said, in Florida, you have the fastest growing condominium projects going up, right? Everybody wants to retire in Florida. And then when you go to a bank and you sign, let's say, a 30-year loan, do you see anywhere on the contract where it says, hey, your investment in 30 years or in 10 years or whatever, they keep changing the numbers when we're all going to drown, right? Does it say anywhere that your investment is going to shit in 10 years? Nowhere on the contract. And these banks, they don't just give out loans just like that. They want guarantees, right? So if they truly believe in climate change and the sea level rises, then nobody would give you a loan to buy a condominium in Florida. So there's your answer. They always follow the money, right?
Always follow the money.
He's like, that's true. And he's like, he said he confronted Al Gore, and he told him, I can't believe you beat me on to the scam. It's like a competition, and who's gonna pull the biggest one, right? Makes the most profit. So who was it before Al Gore that was into this whole somebody else was before him, right? Or it was him, he was the one that started the whole.
I think he was the start of it.
And John Kerry is the carrying the torch right now for him?
Him and that Greta Thunberg girl.
How dare you? The how dare you girl.
The one who gets cheered for saying blah, blah, blah.
Ah, right. Hey, yeah, she's not normal. There's something up with her. I mean, they're using that child. Obviously, she's a teenager now. I don't think she's a child anymore. But, yeah, it's a circle. It's a circle of friends, again, that are running the show. Crazy. And I wonder how China fits into all of this, you know, like the Communist Party. Xi Jinping, how does he fit in with all these, with Zionism, for example? There must be a connection
somewhere.
I don't know.
No, I'm sure there's a financial connection somewhere.
Yeah. It would be an interesting documentary if we ever truly get to the truth. It'd be one of the longest documentary ever made. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. So what else do we have? What happened this week in the news? Have you been following anything?
I know about the new coronavirus variant.
What? No.
Pandemic.
No.
Yeah. This one started in Botswana, which is now why all of these countries, including the United States and Joe Biden, have banned travel from like 6 or 8 different African nations.
And a new variant that started in Africa? Why Africa?
Yep.
What the heck?
I'm not sure, but there's some very interesting things going on about it that I find a little bit hinky. Mysteriously, they jumped and skipped over one of the Greek alphabet, which just so happens to be the Greek alphabet that translates into G, XI.
Huh.
Which just so interestingly happens to be the name of the Chinese prime minister, and this all started in China, so we can't offend. But let me get back over here to my computer, because I actually have a few pages pulled up about this whole variant. Yep.
Oh, my God.
So the new variant is now called Omicron. O-M-I-C-R-O-N. They are saying that it... Oh, wait. Oh, there we go. They have isolated this in Botswana and believe it may have emerged in an HIV patient.
Wow.
And if you go just a little bit deeper, the new pill, the new coronavirus COVID pill that's being developed by Pfizer happens to have HIV medication in it. Isn't that
right.
A little interesting?
Huh. So,
that
wait, the pill, isn't it made by Merck? Or is it by Pfizer? The pill thing that
yes.
They're interesting.
Yeah. And they've been working on this for a while, and then all of a sudden they've said repeatedly that it has HIV medication in it. And then all of a sudden this new variant comes out and is suddenly being said that it was brought on by someone with HIV.
Well, that's because they put
a little bit
HIV in it. Yeah, they must have put some HIV in it. Yeah.
Yes,
sir. And then you're talking about, no, nobody's like has since HIV has been either treatable or manageable, they want to bring it back into the scene to kill more people.
Mm-hmm. So this variant is supposed to be, let me see, I got so many tabs open here. Find the right one. The doctor who isolated supposedly this new variant said it carries 32 mutations. The key mutations, three of the four key mutations can escape antibodies, and another one speeds up the spread. And the scientist said that the combination of mutations is horrific.
Wow.
Which, mind you, I just said that it can escape antibodies and it can spread. If you go and look up the meaning behind Omicron, let's see, where did I see that? I just had it up. Uppercase letter of Omicron O was originally used in mathematics as a symbol for the big O notation, which represents a function's asymptomatic growth rate. So now they're going to start using asymptomatic spread with this one. So where it's, you can't make this up.
You can't. I swear.
You really can't.
And they're going to be scaring more people into, there's a new variant just right before the holidays, just before winter time when people are going to be, you know, usually get the flu, and so more people would be jumping and taking
the shot. Which I still think is entertaining, because didn't we basically eradicate the flu last year because there were almost no cases worldwide? So how did it come back, and we're pushing to have the flu vaccine along with, and they're trying to combine them into one shot?
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is
and
just
it makes
crazy.
It also fairly... Fairly interesting. Let me see here. Trying to find. I've got so many different groups and channels that I follow that I'm trying to remember which one posted it. They actually had quotes from when Trump banned travel.
Right.
And tweets, side-by-side tweets from Biden and Harris talking about how it was un-American and essentially racist to ban travel from other countries into America, and here they are banning from Africa.
Oh, interesting. Very interesting. Huh.
Mm-hmm.
You know what happened in Egypt yesterday? About a month ago, they had, they got these mummies, right? And they wanted, so they did this elaborate, massive, like, it cost them millions and millions of dollars, this ceremony of transferring these mummies, right? Remember, these mummies are bodies of dead people, into the museum. So from the excavation site to the museum, this... I'm telling you, minimum of maybe $500 million it cost them. They had singers, dancers. They put it on like these wagons, golden wagons, and they called it the ceremony of the kings or something. So yesterday, they had another one. And so we all know.
I heard something about they opened up the... I heard something. They opened up the path to the Sphinx, or the some 1.7 mile walkway to the Sphinx.
These are all satanic ceremonies. This is not normal. I mean,
these,
you're transferring dead bodies. You're grave robbers, right? You're robbing these graves. And then you're taking these bodies and you're doing a ceremony. See, it says here, Egypt reopened ancient avenue of sphinxes. Oh, that's the one. So this is the new one.
Yeah, that's it.
Again, another elaborate, like, what the heck, ceremony. Totally weird, bizarre. I mean, we understand the history. We understand the value of whatever. And we understand there's a lot of mystery. We understand also why is there the monument, right? There's one in the Vatican. What do they call it? The obelisk. There's one in the Vatican. There's one in front of the White House. So what do we have to do with Egypt? Why do we have a pyramid in the back of the dollar bill? What does that have to do with Egypt, right?
It
ties up, I'm sure, somehow. So the more than 3,000-year-old road linking two Egyptian temple complexes was first discovered in the late 1940s and has since undergone decades of excavation and restoration efforts. Okay, we understand. Value for tourism, absolutely. But then this elaborate ceremony of what? I mean, wow. And Egypt, you're talking about, this is not a rich country, you know? Most people are... farmers, they're uneducated, you have a big majority of people are poor. You have a small, like I would say maybe less than 5% of the population in Egypt. Egypt has a huge, it's over 50 million they live in Egypt. So it's a big country, but majority poor people, farmers, and most of them also they farm by the Nile, right? The Nile River. Tourism is a big thing, of course, but is there anybody traveling during COVID? Tourism is killed everywhere almost. Maybe this is to revive tourism, could be, but then you have the whole occultic element to it for sure. And maybe now you're saying this is the new variant is coming out of Africa. Coincidence? I don't believe in coincidences anymore.
There is none.
Yeah. Very interesting. And they name it, so this is, so X, so G is like XI, right? Does that mean it's the end?
Yeah.
What, at the end of the variant? This is the last one?
Oh, no. Omega is the last variant.
XYZ, we're close to, hopefully.
No, we're actually halfway through.
Oh, God. Oh, my gosh. Well, this is going to drag, I think, to 2025, maybe?
At least.
Remember the soundbite for that guy who's running to the Mexican border? And he's saying, okay, so he's running from New York all the way to, and he's in the desert and he's panting and he's going to say, he's saying, I'm going to cross the border and cross back illegally so I can get my life back together, right? I'm going to get housing.
Mm-hmm.
So the same guy, he put up another video. He's pretty funny, actually. You know, social media is doing some good things. And let's play the new one. He's talking about how long this pandemic is going to play out for. So, here we go.
Hey, guys. I'm here in quarantine camp again. This time they sent me to Australia as a punishment for saying I thought maybe the government wants to keep the pandemic going a little longer. And I shouldn't have said that because I lost my job and my family and in prison. But today they let me walk outside today without a mask on, as long as I stay at least 5 miles away from the next prisoner. It's pretty cool. I miss that smell. Anyhow, Lord President Fauci said, we might be back to normal by the year 2096. I'll be long dead, but I hope someone gets to enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah. How was that? 2096.
All right, so I found it. These are the tweets that Biden and Harris tweeted on March 12, 2020, when Trump banned travel. Biden's tweet said, a wall will not stop the coronavirus. Banning all travel from Europe or any other part of the world will not stop it. This disease could impact every nation and any person on the planet, and we need a plan to combat it. Kamala Harris tweeted, Trump's extended un-American travel ban undermines our nation's core values. It's clearly driven by hate, not security.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
But they're the ones who just announced a travel ban on South Africa and 7 other African nations.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
So, did you hear about some county somewhere? I forgot which city. It said that if you're going to invite your relatives to Thanksgiving dinner, that you should swab test them or something. Have you heard about that?
Yeah. I heard about that.
So that's not like that is actually happened. Some city officials decided to tell people. Wow. Just like that lady. That lady before Thanksgiving. I don't know if... let me play that sound bite. Remember I said to you, and remember you have these Chinese reporters. Some the other one that goes on CNN and talks about how we should be forced to take the job. Remember, I forgot her name. I don't know what she does for a living, but obviously another Chinese, I don't know what her position is, but she's dictating what people should do for Thanksgiving. And remember, Thanksgiving is a big deal in America. Like, this is a big deal. So let's play the soundbite and hear what she had to say.
Whether you're hosting, whether you're not, what conversation should families be having about keeping the cost low of the big meal? culture to ask folks to chip into the meal in some form or fashion. A lot of times, folks will make the main dishes, and then people just are more than happy to bring, you know, their favorite stuffing or their sweet potato pie. That is really a way to help keep costs down. Another is to delegate the drinks. That's an area that can get really expensive. So maybe, Kristen, you bring the wine, Peter, you bring the sparkling cider. These days, you also have apps like Venmo and PayPal and Zelle, and etiquette experts are a little mixed on this, but you could ask everybody to just throw in cash, $5, $10. That really adds up. And while we are on the topic of something that could be controversial, perhaps forego the turkey. Bear with me. I know that is the staple of the Thanksgiving meal. However, some people think turkey is overrated, and so it tends to be the most expensive thing on the table. Maybe you do an Italian feast instead. And I will say this. If you tell everyone you're having a Thanksgiving without turkey, some guests may drop off the list, and that's a way to cut costs, too.
Yeah, you little low-class servant, because of...
Yeah, isn't she? Oh, my God, can you believe it? These people have
honestly, I'm not a big turkey fan, so it doesn't bother me to forego the turkey, but I do understand that, yes, it is, and...
Wow. So if you forego the turkey, some of the guests will drop out. They won't even show up. There you go. That's how you save some money. What the hell?
Yeah.
These people out of their minds. Whether you like to eat turkey or not, it's not the point. You're not there for the food, obviously. It's when people actually gather. Like I said, my relatives here in Arizona, we come on Thanksgiving. We don't see them, like rarely we see them other days of the year. And then we have here, we meet for Thanksgiving. And my children look forward to coming here every year. So imagine basically it's like, they want you to drop the traditions. The Democrats in general, they want you to be okay with lowering your standards, your living standards. They want you to be, get used to not having everything you want, get used to having food shortages, having supply shortages, having to lower your living standards. And they want to push it, but yeah, you should not be living like you used to be anymore. Crazy Democrats. That's socialism, right? Here we go again.
Remember what they were saying a couple, 3 months back. Soon you will own nothing and be happy about it.
Exactly. Yes. On point. They're following their agenda pretty well. I got to give them that. They bond together. They finance each other pretty well. They execute the plan perfectly. They're pretty organized. I got to give them that one. It's scary, but yeah. And you know what's funny today, Chris? I got my TikTok account. I have about 700 followers. I don't have that many. I posted maybe 6 videos or something like that. Most of them is news clips. And 2 of them is from Jen Psaki. Well, I got sacked on TikTok today. So Jen Psaki speaking violates the community guidelines. What was Jen Psaki saying? Jen Psaki was saying that when we presented a Republican president with the vaccine, we did not know that his base would vehemently refuse what we presented him with. Now that is considered against violating their guidelines, community guidelines. Interesting, right? And the other one was the MSNBC reporter saying that Joe Biden is accusing Facebook of murdering people because he's not censoring enough about spreading vaccine misinformation. So those two I got sacked today on them from TikTok.
Oh, well, did you hear the most recent one with Raggedy Ann, Jen Psaki, when she was asked whether Biden would apologize for calling Rittenhouse a white supremacist?
Oh, and her answer was?
She went on this whole rant and ended up dodging and ducking that question and turning around and blaming Trump and blaming the Republicans and blaming everyone but for what happened.
Oh, interesting. He's like the punching bag. Everything is Trump, right? Oh, my God.
Yep.
Oh,
how I'll have that to find that and send that clip to you.
Shoot. Seriously. I mean, she is the worst. the worst. She can't even like hide her lies. She can, like, it's obvious. She, I don't know how they picked her, honestly. Like, what's her qualification other than she works for the Lincoln Project, right? She was trained by
Pretty much the Lincoln Project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and all these slimy ones that come out and represent the Democrats. It's crazy. But then you have, on the other hand, you have all these Republicans who are not doing anything. And I am so, I love Rand Paul and what has he been doing lately, especially, you know, like putting Fauci on the spot with the calling him to the Congress and whatever. But he's, so he has the documents. You have the Blaze, Glenn Beck, did the whole investigation. They uncovered the root of the whole thing with the NIH and where, how did Fauci start with the Wuhan and funding of gain of function. And he told Rand Paul, live on TV, I sent you everything that you need in order to pursue this legally. I sent it to you. I sent it to all the Republicans. I sent it to the DOD and the DOJ. Can somebody do something? And then you have him screaming here, you know, circus show for the people in the Congress, all those congressional hearings, and nothing. Nothing's being done.
And I did just send you that clip from her.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, on Telegram?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Oh, yeah, I did receive it. All right, it's uploading, and let's see. And let me guess who asked her before I play the clip. Is it the Fox guy?
Yep, it was.
The reporter from Fox. Right. Okay, let's play the soundbite. Here we go.
Another topic. Would the president ever apologize to the acquitted Kenosha shooter, Kyle Rittenhouse, for suggesting online and on TV that he is a white supremacist?
Well, let's be clear what we're talking about here. This is about a campaign video released last year that used President Trump's own words during a debate as he refused to condemn white supremacists and militia groups. And President Trump, as we know from history, and as many of you covered, didn't just refuse to condemn militia groups on the debate stage. He actively encouraged them.
And why would he condemn militia groups? It's in our Constitution. It's your Second Amendment, basically. It is the right for the people to bear arms, to form militias, to fight a tyrannical governor. Why would he condemn it?
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, right? So look at the base of what she's talking about. Is already, you're already going against the Constitution by just saying that. This being a militia has nothing to do with being a racist, for example, right? Has nothing to do. I'm sure there's all kinds of races in these militias. But they want to stamp you. This is the goal. They want to stamp you if you're a militia or that's because you're racist. It has nothing to do with organizing and being together, right? United, all races, regardless of race, religion, whatever. You're an American. They don't want you to organize in order to go against the commies that are running the show. That's the whole thing. So they want to put a stigma on the word militia. That it's, the militia means white supremacy. That's all it means. That's the whole goal.
They want to be.
Yeah, they don't. They're smart. They're using the word smartly. So and for her to keep saying militia, and correlating it with white supremacy is deliberate for sure. All right, let's continue.
Yeah.
Throughout his presidency, so you know what we've seen are the tragic consequences of that. When people think it's okay to take the law into their own hands instead of allowing law enforcement to do its job, and the president believes.
And when did that happen?
Exactly.
What the hell?
Condemning.
I mean, it was a train wreck.
That's exactly what was done in that video.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying that it was just a campaign video. It wasn't. The president also gave an interview where he said this Rittenhouse was part of a militia coming out of Illinois. Have you ever heard this president referring to Trump say one negative thing about white supremacists? These are all things. None of this was proven in the trial. And Kyle Rittenhouse is saying that the president had actual malice in defaming his character. Is that what happened here?
The president spoke to the verdict last week. He has obviously condemned the hatred and division and violence we've seen around the country by groups like the Proud Boys. and groups.
Right. Because, you know, the Proud Boys were running, burning down the country, right? All summer.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So freaking evil. Oh, my God. Like, already I want to smack her, like, 10 times. But it's
a lie.
Every time she opens her mouth, she's lying.
Pretty much.
What did the Proud Boys do? Name one time Proud Boys caused any property damage or hit somebody out of the blue or hurt or killed somebody. Name one occasion. Zero.
I mean, the only property crime was burning that flag, but that's it.
They burned the Antifa flag?
Yeah. Well, the BLM. It was BLM flag.
Right. Uh-huh.
That, that individual has posed in photos with, but beyond that, I'll leave it to his comments around.
Oh, my God. What a witch. Oh,
mm-hmm.
These people. I mean, how? So, by the way, what did you think of? Let's go on the lighter side. In the last half an hour, what did you think of the UFO footage of that thing?
That was very interesting. And I, Alice sent you a video that she found. That from one of the people she follows who caught similar footage like that. So,
right.
And their footage was a year old.
Uh-huh.
So her footage actually was a little bit closer and a little bit higher resolution. You could actually see the item and the shadow in the same shot, which was very interesting. And yours just sort of confirmed it. So.
Right. So I don't know if you heard of the channel, YouTube channel, Crow777, CRROW, I believe. I don't know if he's been purged or not. He speaks a lot of truth. He's one of the truthers. And so he has a high-def telescope, and he was one of the first people that recorded the lunar wave. He was one of the first people that said the moon is a hologram. And he could not explain otherwise. Why would there be like a kind of like a refresh, right? In the browser, automatically refreshes, kind of like that. Then he traced one of these. And it in his footage, it looked like, see right here in my footage, it looks like a kind of like a circle. It has like two wings maybe. It's spinning. So I saw this with my telescope many times. Live, and then I shot it with my cameras. One time I was in Jordan and one time here in the U.S. So this footage was here in the U.S., and then I have one time I also recorded it in Jordan. Two times. So there's a casting a shadow on the moon, so that eliminates it being a bird. It's very close to the moon, thus the shadow. And it does not move like a satellite. Satellites don't spin like boomerangs, right? They just glide.
Nope.
And there was other footage of a bunch of them, like fleet of these objects passing in front of the moon.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot out there.
Right. I mean, have you seen a UFO by yourself? Like, I would say, I mean, I would say yes. I've seen UFOs. Have you?
I have. In my travels, I've been... Mm-hmm. In a number of different places and seen a number of different very unexplainable things, we'll say.
And we're talking about something in the sky, right?
In the sky, yeah. I've seen Northern a few times. I've actually, Alice and I have sat outside our house here in Oregon and watched two and three different that look like stars rotating in a circle around each other fast enough we can watch it with our bare eyes and making full rotations every like 2 or 3 minutes.
Huh. That's definitely not choppers.
Yeah.
Regular airplanes can't do that. Helicopters
and they
can't
were
get that
very
close to each
high
other.
Up. There was,
right.
Yep.
Hmm.
And we've got one that we're not sure because I've got a night vision monocle. Mm-hmm. It's a 4x magnification. It's nothing super special. It's not super high end. It's a first gen night vision. But when you use that and you look at actual stars,
They're just dots. But we've got one that we keep seeing, and it's almost every night we see it when it's clear, that when you look at it, it actually has a halo around it. And none of the other stars have a halo around them.
And you looked up at the sky map. It's not a planet. It's not like Venus, Jupiter, maybe it's Saturn.
It doesn't move. It stays in the exact same spot. It stays in the exact same spot in the sky. Every night I can come out and I can look exactly where it would be, and it is always in the exact same spot every night. And I can come back an hour, 2 hours later, it's in the exact same spot.
Wow. I got to lend you my camera. Do you see a lot of stars in your sky? Like there's not much light pollution?
Here at our place, we've got some decent light pollution, but over at Mom and Dad's, they have 16 acres, and then they have like a 150-acre field next to them, so there's a lot less out there, so we see more.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. I remember one time that we drove to Arizona, and it was nighttime, and I don't know what that time, I don't know if my husband took a different route or something, but we stopped at a truck stop, and we got down from that. So the second I opened the door, and I got down, and I looked at the sky, let me tell you, I was in awe. I've never seen so many stars in the sky in my life. I was shocked. I was like, oh, my God. I was mesmerized. And, you know, like you see that, what do they call that, like the rift or whatever, like the whole bunch of stars just together, and shooting stars everywhere. I did not want to go. I wanted to look all night up at the sky. And then you have these NASA scientists, and when you ask them, also, when you went to space, did you see more stars than when you see, from Earth with all the light pollution? No, we don't see any stars up there. Can you explain that for me?
Yep. Exactly.
What the hell? It doesn't even make any sense. I mean, come on. Unbelievable.
Yeah, next time we have a clear night, I will have to get out the night vision, because I can actually get it lined up right with my phone that I can take pictures of what I see through the night vision.
Ooh, that would be great. You know those the laser pointers?
Yep.
So I bought one. I'm going to make you laugh right now. Those, not the green ones, the blue ones, that they are so hot, you can light a match with it. You know what I'm talking about,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep,
I bought one of those, and it was like $70. I bought it from this Chinese app, and I bought it because I wanted to kill spiders on the basically. I know people with animals and insects, whatever. Yeah, so like I can't reach the spider, so I would just point my laser and boop, boop, it's done, right? And I've seen some people, they use them, like they say they're out when there's no air. Do not point it at airplanes, people. It's terrible. It's really bad. So if you are in the middle of nowhere, there's no airplane traffic overhead, some people were pointing them at what supposedly they think are stars, and then these stars start moving.
Yep.
What? So they're not, so they're stationary until they get
found.
Yeah, exactly. Weird, right? Do you think they are like maybe living entities, their ships, just stationary?
I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know. It's hard to tell with the technology these days. It could be a military aircraft.
Right. Yeah, it could be. It could be, actually, because we don't know. They don't tell us everything. And then the whole thing with the 3TB, I think it's called that ship. A lot of people took shots of it. That looks like a triangle, and it's like it defies gravity or something. It's completely silent. And my main mechanic, he told me in Long Beach, he saw one. And he was looking at it. He was by the beach, and he saw it. And he's like, I just looked at it, and I couldn't believe I'm looking at it. And it looked like a triangle, and it had three lights, one under each corner. And it just quietly just flew over by, and he's like, I would never forget that night. So I wonder, do you think they would ever disclose the truth?
Probably not. Or at least not until they have technology far beyond what the truth is.
Mm, true, yeah. I do believe it's probably American. I mean, I know other countries probably advanced too, but not as much as the U.S. I don't think anybody can beat the U.S. militarily or technologically, honestly. We're at the top of our game.
I don't know. Japan is pretty advanced in technology.
Japan?
Yeah.
What about their, like...
Their technology is...
Air Force?
Not in the military sector, but the private sector.
Oh, right, right. And like innovation thing.
Yeah.
Robots. They beat the American companies in AI?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they do. I wouldn't be surprised if they've had AI for a long while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty actually a good example. What about, do you think China, maybe?
I don't know with China, honestly.
There's supersonic missiles that they've been testing lately. They said it's like a supersedes. I don't know what our military is doing. I hope they stop that thing with their woke training and start really like paying attention to what's going on. Yeah, they're making me nervous for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have Russia and their space program. You know, there was one Russian astronaut. He said he did confess. He said we never went to the moon. So basically what happened is that it was Russia that launched a rocket, testing rocket, to say, okay, we're going to try this one. It's going to be our step to going to the moon. And then America jumped on, I think it was Kennedy Day, maybe. He said, nobody's going to beat us. We're going to be the first to reach the moon. We're going to conquer the moon. And then they get on it, people, basically. And all of a sudden, we got it right, and we got there. But then you have all the people that are doubting this whole trip. They put a lot of holes into their stories. Even the Challenger. Was it the Challenger that exploded?
Yeah.
The Challenger. They said that all of these people were alive. And so they're pulling this like whole thing. But so if we never reach the moon, do we have a rover on Mars?
I don't think so, honestly.
You didn't believe so either?
Nope.
See, a lot of people are not falling for this. I mean, I know we have a space station. I've seen it, right? I've monitored it. But if I can see it without a telescope, obviously it's in low Earth orbit.
Yeah.
I've seen satellites pass by one time when we were in Maui, and, you know, it's clear skies and a lot of pollution. We were had a... dinner on a ship, on a boat, like small boat, maybe like 3-4 different couples. And so it's gliding in the water silently, and then we're laying down on the bench. And then I told my husband, oh, what is that? And then he's like, oh, that looks like a satellite. But again, we saw it with our own eyes. It wasn't that high up. And so then you talk about there's a Mars on rover that's sending pictures to Earth.
Yep.
Wow. I mean, I hope that's true. I hope I'm wrong on that one, but it's hard to believe. Because, I mean, like, how come we've never been back on the moon? Well, why not? If we made it, and how many times do we make it to the moon, by the way, with people on board?
They say, like, 5 or 6, I think.
There's 5 times that we've walked on the moon?
I believe so.
Wow. And that all happened back in the 60s, 70s, 80s?
Something like that, I believe.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know. That's weird, because the only footage we saw was like the first landing. I have never seen any other footage of them on the moon. There even a lot of people are claiming that the footage from the space station is fake too. There's they caught him in like a green screen videos. They're wearing wires. Like let's say when they go around the corner, they're disappearing before the their body. Like that, so the body supposedly disappear, and then they have a shadow behind. So that's another evidence of a green screen. Sexual image pictures. There is no lag in the voice, right? In the voice communication between the question and the answer. Usually there should be a little bit of a lag if you're that far up. And then you have the whole thing with how did we pass the Van Allen belt?
Exactly.
But then again, I mean, if the FDA and the CDC and then all of those agencies, every alphabet agency is corrupt, why wouldn't that one be corrupt, right? So who do you believe? There's literally no one. Like Joe said, you don't trust no one.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I actually found a clear spot in the sky where I could see stars. So I just sent you a couple of pictures of with and without the night vision that I have.
Let's see. Oh, that's pretty well, actually. So without, you don't see anything. Yep. But then, oh, that's pretty good.
Yep. And this is just a first-gen night vision system that I picked up. It was, I think, $150 on Amazon.
Oh, really? Wow. And they're powered by batteries?
Two AAA batteries.
Okay. And then it's you can zoom, and then you can... Uh-huh.
No, it's you can't zoom with it. It's only a 4x magnification. It's always at that magnification.
Got it.
But it does have a pulse infrared system on it that you can light up with an infrared light that basically can only be seen by the lens.
Gotcha. Okay. And so infrared is more like if you were, like, let's say if you're in the forest and it's nighttime, you can see like life being that produces heat from their body, right?
No, it's just the light reflections. Yeah, it just reflects the light and magnifies the light.
Okay. Yeah, that's actually really, really cool. I wish I had something like that, because I know there's a lot more to what's happening that we cannot see. Have you heard with the Vatican has in, I think, Arizona, they have a telescope. You heard about that?
I have not.
I'm not sure if it's in New Mexico or in Arizona, but the Vatican owns a... They call it Lucifer Telescope. Here, let me type it really quick. The Vatican. And it said, the way it works, it doesn't work like other telescopes that, let's say, the U.S. owns or whatever. It's a Vatican Telescope. Here, it's called Lucifer. It's not funny. Oh, it is in Arizona. So, let's see. So the Lucifer instrument helps astronauts see through darkness. And it happens to be the Vatican Observatory on Mount Graham in... So it's a new instrument with an evil sounding name is helping scientists see how stars are born. Lucifer, which stands for deep breath. Large binocular telescope near infrared utility with camera and integral field unit of extragalactic research is a chilled instrument attached to a telescope in Arizona. And yes, it's named for the devil, whose name itself means morning star. But it wasn't meant to evoke him, according to a spokesman from the University of Arizona, where it is housed. The instrument is chilled to 213 Celsius, about 351 Fahrenheit, to allow near-infrared accurate observations that wavelength is important for understanding star and planet formation, as well as observing very distant and very young galaxies. Lucifer has three interchangeable cameras for imaging and space copy in different resolutions. It has a large field of view and high-res capabilities, which allow a wide range of observations. Lucifer is a part of the Large Binocular Telescope, which happens to be right next to the Vatican Observatory on Mount Graham in Stafford. Stafford. That's right. The Vatican has an observatory in Arizona, manned by Jesuit astronomers. Now, its next-door neighbor is named for the devil. Oh, look at that. That's pretty well. Oh, you can see the video. Oh, that's interesting. Wow, these can come really handy, huh?
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
It's actually pretty fun to play with.
Right? Yes. Like you can see nothing without barely. Yeah, and then you can see at night. Oh, that's beautiful. Very clear. And do they hurt your eyes when you take them off? Do you feel like you can't wear them for long? They don't bother you.
No, you don't actually put it on. It's a monocle. It's only one eye, and you just hold it. So.
Ah, so one eye is normal, and then this one. Okay, I see. And it does not have those crosshairs for nighttime shooting.
This isn't for spotting and laser. This is just for looking around.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, I think I got one for my brother. I think Xbox made some like that a while ago for gaming. Was it? I got one for my brother from maybe Big Five or something. Because my brother's a hunter, and he goes to like the no man's land, and they hunt for hogs. And he has his dogs with him, and he takes his friends, and they go and they cook. They like to stay overnight, and they cook and whatever. And one time he told me he was sleeping in his truck. He doesn't like to build a tent because he's afraid of whatever, snakes and scorpions. And so, and he said, all of a sudden, we heard a thud on top of the truck, like, boom, boom. And he didn't know what it was. And he said he was so afraid because the sunroof was open, like a little bit, right? It's hot summer night. And then he saw the mouth of what do they call them? It wasn't a hyena, kind of like that, with those, like, there's a mountain lion. And he's breathing down from the sunroof. And then his friend freaked out, opened the door, started running outside. And my brother was like, oh my God, don't run outside. What are you doing? You put yourself out in more danger. And of course, my brother had his handgun. He opened his side window, and then he just shot and scared the animal away. But it's funny how his friend reacted, like, okay, you just ran to danger. You just became the dinner meal.
Became the hunted.
Yeah, exactly.
He became the prey.
Exactly. Okay, what else do we want to talk about, Chris? Anything else you want to add? We have about 5 minutes left.
I don't think I have anything else.
We're good. We covered much. And again, happy Thanksgiving. And
you too.
And say hello to the family. And we will be joining everyone else next week. And hopefully do you think we're going to be able to start the new segment?
I will hope so.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to work on it definitely this week. We're going to have some exciting things going on for... if not the next episode, it would be the one after. And it's going to be more interactive. We're going to have some prizes. And so it's going to be very, very fun. All righty. Well, let's end it right here. Again, this is the Rai View Radio Show, your hosts, Chris and Jumana. And we'll see you next Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific time. We'll see you then. Signing out. Have a good night.
Bye.